Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
On this episode of KKHI, the Chiefs are answering questions they should have been asked a couple of years ago. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred says he supports the name Braves and the Tomahawk Chop. This is the same commissioner that took the Major League Baseball All-Star Game out of Atlanta because he doesn't like the laws that the people have put in. You got to hear this story. And a district attorney in New Mexico says there was a massive amount of live ammunition on the movie set of Rust. It's all on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, we got a lot to talk about on this episode of KKHI, brought to you by Merriam Body Shop, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive. On Merriam Drive, ask for my friend Justin at Merriam Body Shop for full collision repair or small jobs like paintless dent removal. And don't forget, they would love to detail your ride as well. With the new car image, complete custom detailing, better than new, ceramic coating. Oh my goodness, they do a great job getting your car, truck, SUV, whatever you have, looking spit shine new, better than the showroom. It's all at Merriam Body Shop, online at merriambodyshop.com, or call 913-362-1198. And now, new car image detailing in Kansas City and Lawrence. Good folks there. We start on this episode with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now being asked tough questions because they're losing. This is one of those areas where I've never understood journalism or reporting. When you see things that aren't right, you should ask about it. That's the job of people in the media. The results don't always matter. In fact, they don't matter really at all. The results don't matter. The one loss record of a sports team shouldn't matter when you're asking questions about protocols, things that are happening, things that are right, things that are wrong, players that are criminals, gun arrests, DUIs, little girls in hospitals, Patrick Mahomes every week on stage at Sprint Center, or T-Mobile Center, 2 days before the game, up singing and dancing with Kane Brown or, whoever the latest is to come to town, Jason Aldean, living the life, doing the things. You see things that you know because we have watched football. I've reported on football. I've reported on sports my entire life. We see things and we go, this doesn't add up. This can't stand. Something is wrong. So there's a lot of things that are wrong with the Chiefs, and now they're losing. So the other reporters are starting to ask the questions. Are they distracted? Is Andy Reid's health okay? He was in the hospital with a heart problem, right? We have the Britt Reid situation. What's it been like since that occurred? Well, it hasn't been good. What happened that night? Is this a broken franchise? Was there drinking at work? They're not asking those specific questions. Somebody needs to ask Andy Reid on one of these news conferences, is the NFL investigating you for what happened the night Britt Reid's crash occurred? Are they investigating the Chiefs? Because we've now seen the NFL basically clear the Washington football team and say that investigation is over. The commissioner said yesterday Daniel Snyder has been held accountable. Former employees are outraged. There are lawyers threatening more lawsuits. The House of Representatives in D.C. has an oversight committee saying that they're getting involved now in the Washington football team because we don't like the way the NFL has handled this. Well, my question is, what does the NFL know about the Kansas City Chiefs and what occurred the night that Britt Reid got drunk and slammed into that car? What happened that night? We don't know. They don't have to say, I guess, because they're a private business. But if the House Oversight Committee starts getting involved with the National Football League and things going on within the National Football League, it is not legal for private companies to just lock themselves down and allow sexual harassment to take place in D.C. or drinking in the workplace in Kansas City, threatening public safety, or players with Uzis in their back seats. If teams are going to cover up for these crimes and pay their way out of these alleged missteps in different organizations and things around the country, should the government get involved? These are serious questions that I ask. I have concerns for people in our community. I've always had concerns for people in our community based on what I've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs organization. They're dangerous. People have been hurt. We've seen a murder-suicide in the parking lot at Arrowhead, for crying out loud. I mean, this is a long history of bad things that have happened. with the Kansas City Chiefs and employees of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we all know about these things. When they're winning, these things don't matter. Now they're losing, and we're starting to get the questions. And Andy Reid is getting questions. You know, what's wrong? People are starting to question, is Andy Reid healthy? Should he be doing this? Is it passing him by? Is there enough discipline? Is it out of control? Is he too focused on his family and the problems with Britt Reid, the legal issues that he has to coach the football team? And now Patrick Mahomes was on Carrington Harrison's Fine show on 610 Sports Radio. Carrington is on every afternoon. He's a young guy who's got a really unique style, and he has Patrick Mahomes on every week. And he asked him yesterday if you're distracted with all these other sideshow things that you do. And it was friendly enough the way he asked it, but I don't like Mahomes' answer at all. And the answer itself tells me, from my experience, that he is a completely distracted football player at this point and a completely distracted football team. Mahomes responded when asked, if you're doing too much, if you're distracted, if you're getting tugged in too many directions with all these civic things you do, showing up at concerts, being involved in this ownership group and that ownership group. Mahomes responded, quote, this is during football season. He said, quote, I don't do anything but football. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. For Mahomes to say during football season, the only thing he does is football is not accurate. It's in no way true. And that is, I think there's some immaturity there. I think we're starting to see part of the downside of having so much success so fast, so early in his career. And I know he sat for a year behind Alex Smith. When you have that much success that fast and a $500 million contract is dropped at your feet, life gets easy. And you think the game is easy. Patrick Mahomes is not the first quarterback to have success in the NFL and start to think the game is easy. He's learning. There could be a humbling that takes place here. He's got to learn to attack zone defenses. He doesn't really know how to do it. He doesn't really know how to navigate his way with patience through a lot of this dinking and dunking that teams want him to do. He's done it at times. He did it in much of the second half against the Washington football team, but he certainly didn't do it against the Titans, didn't do it particularly well against the Bills. There have been a lot of games where he has not handled that part of this game very well, and we see why. He, you know, the pocket starts to collapse. He starts running around. They're not blitzing him. He loves it when they blitz. They're in man coverage and they blitz. He loves it. He just throws it downfield. Tyreek Hill runs under it, and it's a touchdown. It's fantastic. Beautiful stuff. Nobody's doing that to the Chiefs anymore. He's the least blitzed quarterback in the NFL. There's a reason teams don't blitz Mahomes. Just give him all the time in the world. We'll eventually get there. We'll play a zone. We'll blanket these guys. We won't let them behind us. And he's going to make mistakes, and he is. He's throwing interceptions. He's throwing ugly, sloppy passes. He's fumbling the football. But for him to say in season that he doesn't do anything but football is not just not accurate. It's not true. And it's a little bit of denial of what it takes to be Tom Brady. I'm sitting there Monday night, and I'm watching Peyton Manning and Eli Manning interview Tom Brady. I'm like, wow, okay, there's a lot of Super Bowls. Peyton and Eli each have two. You know, Brady's got a room full of them. This is incredible. And the Mannings are shaking their head like, we don't know how you're still doing this. We don't understand. And the Mannings were both very dedicated to what they did. Very dedicated to football. By all accounts, nobody ever studied more, tried harder, or knew more about playing the quarterback position than Peyton Manning. Just a complete, absolute freak. Completely dedicated. And I don't think Mahomes has the first clue at this point about what it takes to do this thing long-term. I don't think he's matured. I'm saying that as a good thing, because if you're freaked out about the Chiefs and you're freaked out about his play right now and wondering what the heck is going on, understand that he was making dangerous, risky throws. It was working. They were largely downfield where it was one-on-one coverage, where the worst thing that would happen if Mahomes made a dumb throw downfield was it would be an incomplete pass because it's a corner and it's Tyreek Hill or it's a safety or a linebacker on Kelsey. And if the pass is thrown up for grabs, his guys took care of him. Now it's different. Now it's zones. Now it's players cutting in places where he doesn't see them. They're slicing him up. They have found out what works on Patrick Mahomes. This is the essence of sport. This is what teams do. This is how the game evolves, and it must be part of his evolution as a player. It went on as Mahomes spoke. And then something was said that was really bizarre to me in this interview with Carrington Harrison. He said, Mahomes said, quote, football is kind of what got me here, and I'm not going to let that go, end quote. I'm going to read that quote for you again. Patrick Mahomes says, quote, football is kind of what got me here, and I'm not going to let that go, end quote. Now, I know this much from talking to his agents his first year. There's a lot of spin to Patrick Mahomes and what he does outside of football. They kept saying his first year, the agents kept doing interviews. No, Mahomes is turning down endorsements. He's turning down endorsements. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Well, he wasn't turning down endorsements. He was doing tickets for less. He had a charity thing he was doing. He was doing a car dealer thing. He was doing all kinds of things while sitting on the bench in Kansas City. He was doing IDs for a radio station. He was doing promotions and commercials for the Chiefs. He didn't turn anything down. When he started playing and got good, the phone started ringing, and he took them all. Let's be honest. Mahomes hasn't turned anything down. He has invested in businesses. He's brought Whataburger to town. He loves Whataburger. He's been involved with ketchup companies. He's done insurance. He's doing all these things nationwide. His wife is a part owner of a women's soccer team. They go to the Sporting Kansas City games. They're part owners of the Royals. They go to those games. They go to every concert at T-Mobile Center. They're very active in the community, and this is one of the things that people in Kansas City love about him and identify with him. These are all good pursuits. But Patrick Mahomes has been taught at a very young age by his agents and by his controllers that you're going to make a lot of money, but your real success in life is going to be how you invest it, what you do with it, how can you grow it. The owners of the soccer team that she's involved with are capital investment partners. My guess is the Mahomes have plunked a bunch of money in some investments with that firm to become co-owners of that team. I'm guessing that's part of what they've done. These would be solid business strategies. But the question is Patrick Mahomes now as involved looking at where his money's going, which is not a bad thing for an athlete. A lot of athletes, most athletes just go broke because they don't know where it goes. But is he really involved in watching where it's going, what he's doing, what's the report on the Whataburgers, how we doing, are people going, if I were buying Whataburgers and putting them in Kansas City, I'd want to know how sales are going. I just want to know, do people like the Whataburger? Do they not? It's never been here. Most Kansas Citians have never eaten there. How's it going? I'd want to know. I'd want to be involved in these things. Well, a one-hour conference call with your partners on a Thursday evening at 7:30 while you're at home takes you away from putting the baby to bed, which probably makes your fiance mad, and you're on this conference call when other quarterbacks around the league are on their iPad studying film of the opponent coming up. It adds up. It doesn't sound like it should, but it adds up. I'm just disturbed by the fact that the man said, football is kind of what got me here. What else is he talking about? Is he talking about his business ventures? Is he talking about his lifestyle? I don't know what it is, but these were not good answers by Patrick Mahomes. To say he doesn't do anything but football during the season is not accurate. It's just not true. And to say football is kind of what got me here, and I'm not going to let that go, makes it sound like, yeah, you bring up a good point. You know, football was a pretty big deal. I got to get back to football being a big deal. That's what it sounded like to me. And I'm left with what? What? Right? I don't want to overplay it. I don't want to make too big of a deal about it. But they're starting to ask the questions that I've been asking for a couple of years. Yeah, I've been asking for quite a while. How is Mahomes going to handle the success? I've seen this so many times before. I think he's doing very well. Looks like his personal life is great. He's in no trouble. He's not causing anybody any trouble. All those things are true. But he might not be taking care of business at the office. That also could be true. He could be a little distant or far away in some way from his teammates. That could be happening. There's a completely different class of player. There's a player who makes the minimum $500,000+ or whatever it is, $600,000+, or guys coming back and forth to the practice squad. And the structure of an NFL locker room and workplace is not the same for that person as it is for Patrick Mahomes. It just isn't. This guy over here has more than anybody in the organization other than the owner. He's the quarterback. He has $500 million. I have $500,000. And I may get cut next week. That's two different things. It's a difficult thing. In the last couple of years, and I hate to say this because he beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, he beat him in the AFC title game a couple of years, I have more appreciation for Tom Brady now than ever. I just do. I can't do anything but admire the man with how hard he works, how undistracted he is around football, how, you know, I know he's married to a supermodel and has kids, but he's not had a lot of public life. He's gone to a couple of boxing events in Vegas, I can remember. I think he goes with his wife. She's from Brazil, right? He goes to Brazil every offseason. They spend time down there. It's not that he doesn't have a good life. I'm not saying that. But he's not out there on stage dancing with Kane Brown at a concert. And I don't ever remember him doing that stuff. Tom Brady's been a little boring. Peyton Manning was a little boring. Alex Smith was boring before Patrick Mahomes and showed him how to be boring. I remember doing several monologues on radio saying, look, Patrick Mahomes has already crossed a bridge that Alex Smith never crossed. When he wore, you know, overalls or whatever that thing was in a jersey to the Speedway for a NASCAR race, I'm like, Patrick Mahomes just identified with Kansas Cityans better than Alex Smith ever could. It's just different upbringings. Mahomes is from Texas. Alex was from California. It's just a different deal. Not that Alex Smith isn't a great guy and a wonderful family man and husband and all those things. I've never met a finer person than Alex Smith, and I know him very well. I've never met a finer person. He's just a really good man. But he never wanted to go do those things. For him, it was be home every night, study football, football, football. In the offseason, train, train, train. That's what he did. I don't think Mahomes is a workout freak. I don't think he trains a lot in the offseason. I think the game's been pretty easy for him. This is a little more along the lines of what George Brett was when he was coming up. If you're old enough to remember George Brett, he got pretty good pretty fast, got a lot of notoriety, still had what we would have called then as baby fat on him. He wasn't in great shape. He was on television shows. I think he was on Fantasy Island. He did the Superstars events. He was doing all these things. He was becoming George Brett. He was on the cover of magazines. The girls loved him. The kissing bandit Morgana came and laid smooches on him on the field. He was a huge celebrity at a very young age. He was a very famous playboy, running his game all over the American League. And everybody knew it. And he was George freaking Brett. Just like this is Patrick freaking Mahomes. It's the same thing. Sometimes you get athletes that are really, really good, and it takes them a while to settle down, to understand this isn't always going to be easy. George Brett found it in his late 20s, early 30s. He got in the best shape of his life. He wound up winning batting titles in three different decades and making the Hall of Fame. But it got harder as he got older, and he had to work harder at it. Nutrition became important. A lot of things became important. You know, studying pitchers became a lot more important than just going out there with natural ability. And I don't think this is going to happen with Mahomes this year. I don't think he's going to mature this year on that front. I don't. I think they can win a lot of games. I think he's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm ready for the next phase of his career. I'm ready for him to calm down as a quarterback, to be a little more Russell Wilson and a little less Brett Favre. Guys have watched football your whole life. I think you know what that means. A little more Russell Wilson, a little less Brett Favre. All similar players. None of them great runners. All of them had the ability to move in the pocket, move out and around a little bit, and make sick throws on the run. I think all three quarterbacks, we would say, have that in common, correct? Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, and Russell Wilson all had the ability to move around in the pocket, get out of there, and make a throw on the run that you just scratched your head and said, how did they do that? They all have that ability. But Favre was always wild. He was never a broken horse. And I feel like this horse needs to be broken, and I'm not sure Andy can do it because now we're asking questions of Andy Reid about discipline and distraction. But here are the questions. It seems a shame to me that the questions come a couple of years too late. We saw all these signs. We were watching the Chiefs play. We saw these things happening and went, how are they doing this? How are they getting away with a bad defense? How is he scrambling around and chucking the ball downfield? And is that a game plan? Can you do that? Andy Reid's game plans in the postseason the year they won the Super Bowl were dreadful. They were behind double digits in every game, and Patrick Mahomes scrambled around, heaved the ball downfield, and the Chiefs won three games and won the Super Bowl. But that wasn't like watching Belichick and Brady operate, or even Tampa last year. It was not game planning. It was not sizing up your opponent, saying we're going to outthink them. We're going to have fewer penalties. We're going to be smarter. The Chiefs have never been that under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They were at times under Alex Smith, but only on offense. And that was really just a reflection of Alex Smith, who was a very disciplined player. Chiefs fans didn't like that. You know, check down Alex, they'd say. Well, boy, some check downs look pretty good right now, wouldn't they? Learning a little Alex Smith football would be pretty good for Patrick Mahomes right now. And for Andy Reid to remember what it was that they did when Alex Smith was the quarterback. It'd be a real nice thing. A real nice thing. I am just not that optimistic it's coming. I think they'll beat the Giants. 81% of Chiefs fans in a recent poll say they will not make the playoffs. I am in that category. I do not think they will make the playoffs. But a lot of teams make it. And I reserve the right to change my mind and know that they have the ability to play well if they just get it together. But they've shown no signs of doing that. If you want to get it together at your office, 360 Document Solutions can help. Any business in Western Missouri or in the entire state of Kansas can benefit from the services and products at 360documentsolutions.com. This is simple. If you have printers, copiers, IT, if you need help with outsourcing IT, mailing systems, phone systems, give Mark and his team the opportunity to do a complimentary analysis for you. It costs you nothing, and there is no pressure. They can even get you out of the current leases that you have. What if they can lower your costs and make your business more efficient? Isn't that a good thing for everyone? Give 360 Document Solutions a try. Call Mark Lindquist at 913-745-5344. Again, any business in the state of Kansas or any business in Western Missouri can benefit. Online, 360documentsolutions.com. Well, I really like the comments I saw from Kansas coach Lance Leipold this week. After losing to Oklahoma, Lance Leipold, of course, you heard me on Tuesday's podcast say, I accept a moral victory for Kansas football. I think a moral victory for Kansas football is a great thing. Go KU, get your moral victory. As you get better over the next 2 or 3 years, take the moral victory and build off of it. This is coming on the heels of a bad loss to Tech. Nobody saw this really coming, but man, they played solid football. And I said, there are, and so Leipold gets asked at his Tuesday news conference about moral victories. And he says, no, but I'm not clicheing that. He says, I don't want to downplay the good things we did in that game. And Leipold went on to say, I have looked at every snap over and over and over, and I'm disappointed in what could have been. He starts identifying plays that they botched and says, if we clean that up, we could have won the game, not just felt good about ourselves. Man, you don't hear coaches say that very often. Gary Pinkel used to say that at Missouri quite a bit. You know, I'd try to say something. I'd had him on every week, and I'd try to say something nice. Hey, you did this really well. He goes, yeah, but you know what? On this, we were just awful. You know, I said, man, that offensive line really blocked well. You racked up a lot of yards on the ground and won pretty easily. He goes, he'd respond with, our pass rush was terrible. I'm like, what? You know, okay, good. I like that. I see that generally in the better coaches. They'll point out something. They'll say, thanks for the compliment. You know, we hear a nice question coming from a reporter. Appreciate you bringing up that we played well Saturday. It wasn't good enough, is what Lance Leipold said. That's just another great sign. Because as players, it's a balance. They need to know that some things that they're doing are working and that it's getting better, and that was improvement on Saturday, regardless what happens this week or what happened the week before. That was improvement. They need to know that that was improvement, but they also need to know you blew this, and you blew this. We got to do these things better. And if you do those things better, we can win games like that. That's buying in. That's buying in. The World Series goes 6-2, game one, to the Braves, who jumped all over the Astros from the start in game one. And the Braves are an interesting story. Our baseball coverage of the Fall Classic brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. There's nothing more American than baseball and Chevrolet. Roberts Robinson could put you in a new Chevy Tahoe, Chevy Silverado, Colorado. What are you looking for? Chevy Blazer like mine? They'll build it for you online at robertsrobinson.com, or they're getting some inventory in now. Take a look at what they have. Check them out online at robertsrobinson.com, and don't forget their service department with Chevrolet. Find new roads. So the Braves win 6-2 in the first game, and before game one of the World Series, it's traditional that the commissioner of baseball gets interviewed by the press. They ask questions, and so, you know, the media largely hate the Braves because they don't like the logo, they don't like the name, they don't like the tomahawk chop. All these liberals in the press don't like any of this stuff. So they start asking questions because they've got to deflect away from what the fun story is. The fun story is the commissioner took the Major League Baseball All-Star Game out of Atlanta because he still, what, disavows the will of the people? The laws of land, the politicians elected, the will of the people of Georgia was disrespected by baseball, and they moved a game out. This is the important part of this story that we're getting into. The will of the people was ignored. Rob Manfred said, I don't care what the people in Georgia want. We are not part of that. We're moving that All-Star game. The people of Georgia have spoken. They like their new voter ID laws. They've elected the proper politicians to put this in motion, but we don't care. We disavow the law of the land, and the will of the people through the democratic process to have their own laws in Georgia. We disregard that and disavow that, and we're moving the All-Star game. This was his policy in July. Rob Manfred, before game one of the World Series, says he now supports the name and logo of the Atlanta Braves and the tomahawk chop. Why does he support those things? This sounds strange, coming from a commissioner that moved the All-Star game. He says he supports those things because the Native Americans in the region support those things. Rob Manfred has said the Native Americans in the region support the name Braves, they support the logo, and they support the tomahawk chop and everything the Braves are doing. The Braves are working with the tribes and the leaders. They're all on the same page. They're all in agreement, and everything's okay. So we're okay with it. Where was that with the All-Star game? Where was your comment that the people of Georgia have voted? They've elected politicians. They've put them in place, and they've passed laws. The law seems fair. The people are, if they don't like the law, they can vote other people in. The will of the people. Rob Manfred has done a complete 180 of his All-Star game stance. I mean, a complete 180. I couldn't believe he said it. I heard him say it. Listen, the Native Americans support it. If they support it, we're okay with it. Wouldn't that be the same thing with the All-Star game and the voter ID laws? Do people support it in Georgia? So we support it. We're not moving the All-Star game. The people support it. Therefore, we support it. Such hypocrisy on the left. You can't be woke and defend it. You can't do it. You're always going to get caught in a bind. So he went woke with the All-Star game because what? His gut just told him it was the right thing to do. But again, you can't defend it because the people of Georgia have voted and elected Republicans across the board to pass laws and put things like that in place and make sure elections aren't stolen and cheated and make sure we do have identification of voters, which seems reasonable to about 80-some percent of the American public. That's the people who are speaking. They think voter ID makes sense. Americans believe that using an ID to vote makes sense. Won't get into the whole voter ID thing, but this is what you get trapped in wokeness. When you go woke, you get caught because then you say something as sensible as what he said this week, because what he said this week makes sense. The Braves in this community and around the region work with the Native American leaders and tribes to foster respect and dignity and honor for their families, for their traditions, and the things that they do. We do not want to disrespect them. We are honoring them. They are brave Braves. That word has meaning for a reason. We're honoring that. And Rob Manfred came out and said, listen, Native Americans support this. Therefore, we support this. That's an excellent stance for Major League Baseball at all different locations. If the local people support what's going on there, baseball should support it. The country's different. The East Coast and the West Coast are different than Atlanta, Georgia. The people who come in the media and ask these questions, you know, that have been living in their bubble forever are different people than Royals fans. They just are. The commissioner needs to respect local teams and local traditions and say, listen, if there's no problem locally, we support this. We're not taking a Major League Baseball shouldn't take a national stance on any of this stuff. Support things regionally. I mean, seriously, that's exactly what the whole thing should be. On Tuesday, Chris and a couple of his nice associates came out to my new home and delivered some new TVs. I got an 8K TV coming in. 8K. I've never even seen one. He said, you have to have this, Kevin. You have to have this 8K TV. I'm going to report back to you and let you know what it looks like. It's not all hooked up and everything yet. We've got that going on today. But man, what a great operation B-Stock is. They'll deliver it. They'll do in-home consultations. You get first-class service from a warehouse store that sells for 30% less than Best Buy and Nebraska Furniture Mart. Who does that? We're talking about computers, electronics, accessories. They do warranties on everything. These are new products in the box. You can get warranties on them. You can get warranties for as cheap as like 10 bucks on some of these products. You're going to love it. You're going to love bstock.net. Visit their outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, and save some money big time at bstock.net. Okay, district attorney in New Mexico has said there was a massive amount of ammunition on the movie set of Rust. I got a lot of great emails. We asked yesterday on a patron podcast with Danny, what on earth is all this ammunition doing, live ammo doing on a set anyway? And a lot of you folks are smarter than me and Danny, apparently, because I got some great emails back, and they said, well, a lot of the scenes, they will show ammo as part of a shot. You know, they could be sitting at a table getting ready to go fight, and, you know, they're putting the bullets in their holsters or in their, what do they call the little, they're wearing their, you know, in the little bullet hole things, they put them on their belt. There could be boxes of ammunition where you open them up and throw them on the table and, you know, people are getting ready to go fight or whatever. It could actually be a prop in a scene, not in a gun. That made sense to me. That absolutely made sense to me. I've also read now that some prop masters in movies like this, they have to buy old guns. They have to buy the vintage guns from the time period. They're still operational. When you acquire the guns, they must be cleaned. They must be fired. They must be used in a safe location somewhere to make sure that they're not going to break, explode, cause a problem on set when you go to use them with a blank or whatever it is that you're doing. That also makes sense. There are unsubstantiated reports that these guns were being used for recreational purposes. Again, those are not substantiated at this point, but it would make sense that if a prop master were rushed into a production and had a bunch of old guns from the 1800s or something out in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, that they may have to clean them and at some point go fire them and make sure they're operational and they're not going to do something to damage the person using them. Trained people would want to go use that. Those are both very good reasons. And thank you folks for letting me know that. Is that the reason that bullet was in there? There still is no reason for that bullet to be in there. There still is none. The 911 call has been released. It's the script supervisor. She runs out of the church. It's a church building. When this happened, she runs out. Most people ran out. She runs out because they don't know what's going on. You know, you may think live shooter. You don't know. Somebody going crazy. She runs out and calls 911, and while she's on with 911, then the dispatch lady is talking to an ambulance. You can hear this woman talking to a coworker saying, this is so bad. They just yelled at me at lunch over script revisions, and there are all kinds of stories coming out that this set was discombobulated, that it was hurried, and that it was cheap. This movie was being made on a $7 million budget. Let me give you an idea how little money that is. The television show Friends in the 1990s had six lead actors that all made $1 million per episode. Each episode was 22 minutes long. It was a sitcom. That was in the 90s, folks. So that was $6 million an episode for a sitcom that they crank out in a week. They crank out one a week. This is a movie on a $7 million budget. I've not heard of a movie on a $7 million budget. I just haven't. I'm astounded that they were doing this on a $7 million budget. A veteran prop master turned the position down. He has released his email and said there were red flags everywhere. I talked to him about doing this movie, and I've been doing this, you know, 38 years or whatever, and they were getting ready to start filming in 15 days, and I said, nope, that's not enough time. You need vintage weapons. They got to be clean. They got to be tested. We got all kinds of things we got to do. That is not enough time. I appreciate the offer. It's very kind of you to consider me. It was a very professional email, but I'm going to turn this opportunity down at this time. So there were red flags everywhere, and there were problems on the set. This is going to be one ugly Hollywood story. That's what we know. Is it criminal? Is it going to be manslaughter? Is Alec Baldwin going to jail? These things are on the table. The district attorney has said nothing is off the table. There's going to be more information today released about where they are going forward. They said it would take weeks for the autopsy. It could take months before any charges are filed. This will be a massive investigation. What they have on their side, the investigators, is a whole bunch of witnesses that are going to tell them exactly what was going on that set and exactly what happened at that moment, because there were seven or eight people at least in that building that saw what happened there. They will know the exact chain of where that gun went from who to who to who, to get to Alec Baldwin's hand for that to happen. We will find out, and there will possibly be criminal charges filed, the DA says. It's going to take a while, but I think we're going to find out that this is one of the stupidest things ever, that it was just a scattered operation from the jump, that it was hurried and it was cheap and it was not safe, and that's how accidents happen. It's a horrible story. AmazingGarageFloors.net is, Dr. Jeremy Fry's driveway. Dr. Jeremy sent me a picture yesterday that Hutch was out at his house sealing his driveway with Seal XP. This is a great idea. Before it gets too cold this winter, seal up that driveway with Seal XP from Amazing Garage Floors, or get that amazing garage floor you always wanted online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. 913-901-7139. You now have our permission to get the garage floor. We have all decided this is not a luxury, it's a necessity. It just is. The garage floor itself is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It should just be part of the... It's like getting hardwood floors and not staining them. Honestly, it's the same thing. Would you put flooring down and not put carpet on top of it? Or no pad? Oh, you put the pad down but not the carpet. No, this is not a luxury. Amazing Garage Floor is a necessity. You're going to love your garage. 913-901-7139. A poll in Virginia, they've got a big race going for governor there. You've seen it. This McAuliffe, who's a fraud, is running. The polls are neck and neck. I always think this gets hyped up, then the Republicans don't win. This is not a place a Republican is supposed to win. The more it's hyped leads me to believe the more the Democrats will turn out, because they'll get scared. They'll get scared their guy's going to lose. This is a turnout election. If not very many people turn out, the Republican win. If a bunch of people turn out, that means the Democrats came and they're in trouble. But it's turned into a race about school boards. And you know we're going to be doing school boards on our Thursday night, Friday morning podcast. We'll be talking about people you can vote for in local school boards on the Kansas side, because the Missouri elections were in April. So on the Kansas side, we'll have names for you. We're going to give you a cheat sheet, and we're going to have some people on the podcast. That'll be fun. We'll do some interviews. It'll be good. These board positions, remember, these school board positions really matter. And people in Virginia seem to know that. But here's what we don't know. Here's the part that doesn't get told. They did a poll in Virginia, and 70% of Democrats in Virginia basically say the parents have no say in what goes on at the school. That they believe that the government, down to the school board, makes the decisions, that the schools are a public entity. They do not belong to parents. They belong to the government, and the government will say what goes on there. 70% of Democrat voters believe that. That's astounding to me. Are these people not parents? Are 70% of Democrats in Virginia people who never had children? How could anybody who ever had a child that went to a public school that your taxpayer money funds, we all pay taxes, if your kids are grown and through, or if you never had kids, you're still paying for the schools. You're being taxed big time on your property taxes to pay for schools. Big time. Very expensive. very expensive, but you want good schools. Most people do. I've never heard of anyone saying the parents shouldn't have input and control over what goes on. And to be fair, board members typically are parents. What needs to happen is we need to change the boards. The boards need to become more conservative. This is not a place where conservatives have ever run before, but it's happening now. And this is what we didn't know what we were up. This was a silent enemy, folks. These school boards were a silent enemy that we learned about during a pandemic. And they are flush with liberals, not Democrats, liberals. Like liberal liberals, these school boards are flush with them because that's their long-term game plan and they're into it. We got to fight back. We need conservative school board members. If 70% of Democrats out there believe parents shouldn't really have an input, it's no wonder we watch school board meetings where they're not even paying attention to the parents. If fundamentally they don't believe the parents have any say, that, well, by law, we have to have these open forums, it's no wonder they don't pay attention to these people. And that's what's going on. So here's what's important. Number one, vote. Vote now or next week on Tuesday. If you're in Johnson County or there's some in Wyandotte County, there's some other elections around, different boards. Go vote. Find out who the conservatives are on your school board. Vote them in. Number two, seriously consider running for a school board position. It won't take that much time. You can go do it and be on a school board and make a huge, huge difference. All right, college enrollment has dropped to its lowest level in 50 years. 50 years. It went down 3% in 20. It's down 6.9% this year. It's dropping like a stone. I'm a little unsure how to feel about this. It stinks. I don't want to see my school or your school have enrollment drop and people lose jobs and bad things happen at these schools. I like it when they're full and they're vibrant. A college campus is a fun, exciting place to be. It's good for those communities. They're obviously huge economic engines for the towns that the schools are in. So I don't like seeing that. But if we keep them out of the crazy liberal professors' classrooms, are we actually gaining something? Because there's indoctrination taking place on college campuses, and if fewer kids go there, that can't be a bad thing. Kids are getting smarter by learning online. Kids are getting smarter just by learning without going to college. We're seeing over and over and over, story after story after story of millionaires, multimillionaires, and even some billionaires who never went to college. They grew up on computers. They self-educated. They essentially just got wise in the ways of the world and channeled their intelligence and their knowledge of the world that they learned from their devices. They channeled it in a positive way to become risk takers, entrepreneurs, private citizens doing great things, philanthropic heroes, all kinds of great things some of these young people have done that have come along without going to college. We will always have great, great capitalists in this country. We will always have that, whether they go to college or not. The greatest leaders in this country are not really produced by sitting in a classroom listening to a liberal professor. They're pretty much born that way. They're driven to go lead or to be successful, and they will find their path. I strongly believe that. So I'm a little torn on what this means with colleges, but the enrollment is way down. And if we have fewer kids getting indoctrinated in college by liberal professors, I think that maybe is an okay thing. Back 9 development's a really good thing. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, TJ Vilkanskis can build you a custom home, commercial property, or a room addition. If you'd like a private tour of the Solheim condominiums at Grandmere, contact TJ anytime at 785-236-0161. Those condos are awesome. They are awesome. I got a friend that's got one. They're really exceptional, and they're great investment properties right now. They could also be great if you've got a kid going to college there or VRBO, a lot of different things, game weekends, hunting trips, golf trips, pretty cool stuff. Back numeral 9, back9development.com. In-N-Out Burger is privately owned. I read one time that the woman of In-N-Out Burger, and then she's like 35 years old. Maybe she was 35 5 years ago when I read it. I don't know. I was on this clickbait story of the most eligible women in America. And she's pretty enough, and she's really rich because she owns In-N-Out Burger. And her dad or family that founded it died, and she has it. So it's worth like $1 billion or something. In-N-Out Burger is a big deal, and it's her. It's like the people that own Quick Trip must be really, really rich. That family's just got to be loaded. So this woman, I don't know anything about her. I think she remains very private. I just remember hearing the story of she's one of the 10 most eligible women in America. I mean, what guy wouldn't want to have all the In-N-Out Burger he could ever eat, married to a beautiful woman with $1 billion? Seems like a pretty good go. So I could see that. Apparently, she's pretty conservative because In-N-Out Burger is not bending to any of these mandates. And they now, at the corporation, have put out a statement saying, you know, are you going to fire your employees? They've got way more than 100 employees. Way more than 100 employees. They're not going to fire any of them. They're not. And this is a great company that has given a lot of opportunity to young people in Los Angeles, Phoenix, Las Vegas, in major Southwest cities, in the inner city, hiring young people, helping them up on their way up, and a very well-run organization, understanding discipline and order at work, how things are done the right way, teaching them these things that maybe they didn't learn at home. You know, McDonald's has been the same way forever. You know, I read a story one time about the number of McDonald's millionaires there are. It's insane how many people their first job was working at McDonald's, or they worked at McDonald's before they were 18 and have grown up to be CEOs and millionaires and all this. They got in there. They understand how a great company operates, how it works. You've seen it. Chick-fil-A is the grand model right now, right? You've seen it. You've seen companies that really know how to operate. You put young people in those positions and they see that and they're part of that and they learn and it's good for them. And In-N-Out is one of those places. There's a simplicity to In-N-Out Burger. They have burgers, fries, shakes, and hot dogs. And that's it. There's a simplicity to what they do. That's how they're efficient. That's how they're profitable. That's how it works. And they're in places where clearly a lot of the young people don't want to go get the vaccine. And they have said, check us out on this. This is the stupidest thing we've ever heard. They put out a statement that says, quote, we will not be the vaccine police for any government, unquote. Now, that's as strong as it gets. That's the best statement yet. They're basically saying city government, county government, health officials, states, or the federal government. Five levels. We will not be the vaccine police for any government. Done. We made our statement. Outstanding In-N-Out Burger. Outstanding. There's just no other way to say it. That's just a fantastic thing. You are awesome. Oh, I mentioned Dr. Jeremy got his driveway sealed, but I should also mention, you know, he's a great orthodontist. He's got a great team of orthodontists. Where Your Smile is Just the Start is fryorthodontics.com. They do Invisalign for about, well, it's the same price as braces. It's way less than the other people do Invisalign. And they do it in several months less than others. And you'll have a beautiful smile. So if you think less time, softer treatment, and lower prices is a good idea, there's a pretty good way to run your business. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in the Kansas City area. Call 469-9191 for a free first appointment at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Well, it was just the start for Michael Jordan in 1984. In his fifth game, Michael Jordan in 1984 in the NBA put on a pair of shoes, Nikes, red and white, that looked by today's standard to be relics, shall we say. Don't think there'd be too many NBA players wearing those shoes today. He wore them in his fifth game in 1984, and somehow they were up for auction this past weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Jordan's rookie shoes from his fifth game in 1984 with Chicago Bulls went for $1.47 million. Got to have a lot of money to spend $1.47 million on a pair of shoes. My wife likes to buy shoes, but it ain't that bad. No way. Tried to convince her not to move all her shoes to the new house. Don't know how that's going. It's a little bit of a sore subject for me to check on, if you know what I mean. She knows that I would like to give more stuff away before we move on Friday. We're trying to accumulate some stuff in some bags and boxes to take to Goodwill and donate, but I haven't seen a lot of shoes yet. I'd like to see a lot of shoes. I mean, I got to think she could go find 10 or 15 pairs and give them away and never miss them. Seems easy to me. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Guys are different. I think what most guys are in the range of what? 5 to 10 pairs of shoes probably does it. Probably got a pair that you like to walk or work out in, a couple of flip-flops, some athletic shoes that you use that are comfort shoes, a couple of casual shoes, maybe a couple of dress shoes. That ought to cover just about everybody, shouldn't it? Maybe some kind of boot thing for wintertime. That'd be a really interesting poll. I'd be curious to know how many pairs of shoes most guys have. And I'd love to see the ratio compared to their spouse. Michael Jordan's rookie shoes, $1.47 million. Hey, thanks as always for listening to KKHI. Please spread the word if you get a chance. Some of you have told me, hey, I listen every day, but I have not hit that like or subscribe button. Could you go ahead and hit that for me? That'd be awesome. And if you could give a review, we'd take that. Wherever you listen on that platform, there's an opportunity typically to review and give us 4 or 5 stars, something like that. I guess that helps in the search order or something. I don't know how it all works, but we'll take it. If you like the podcast, tell people you like it. If you like the podcast, rate it well. If you like the podcast, consider subscribing and becoming a patron at kkhasissues.com. Either way, I'm just happy you're here. And so many of you are notifying and contacting our sponsors because I think you can identify with them and know that you can trust them. I got a great letter from a gentleman today that's using Window World to put a bunch of windows on his house, which is outstanding. They're great people. They're great conservatives. They're going to do it right for the price they say. They're just great products, American made, the whole thing. So that's really cool. You know, when you support the sponsors as well, that's a really, really neat gesture. But know this, I know the sponsors, I trust the sponsors, and you can too. You will find satisfaction working with any of them. That's my promise to you. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.